Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello and welcome to Series 2, Episode 7 of All Brother, a podcast about Salford / Manchester's legendary musical institution, The Fall. Each week we invite along a guest to chat about their experiences and memories of the group. You can find us at Spotify, Apple and all the usual suspects, but we're hosted at play.acast.com/s/AllBrother. All episodes are also available on YouTube. You can search for All Brother Podcast and subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. This week, we're joined by a guest I know a lot of you have been waiting for, long-serving Fall member Mr Craig Scanlon. We caught up recently in a popular Manchester hostelry, which explains the background noise. Hope you enjoy it. All right, the latest episode of All Brother with me, Paul Hanley, and my esteemed colleague, Mr. Stephen Hanley. And when we decided to do this podcast, I think the first name we had on the list is our guest today, I think. That's right, isn't it?
Yes.
I think so. Obviously, we had more important people.
Well, obviously say that. I'm sitting in front of you.
Just shine daylight on the magic. That's Mr. Craig Scanlon. How are you, Craig?
I'm all right, thanks.
Good. A bit late, but, you know, chat of everything.
Patches Britain.
So, jumping right in. Your first time you saw The Fall, the Perry, is that right? Would that have been the Electric Circus, wouldn't it?
No.
No?
That was at Rafters, pretty sure.
What, the Rafters with Magazine?
It's either Magazine or, was it Penetration? So all the very good names, but I definitely remember watching it in Rafters.
See, we've had this before.
We have, the Rafters gig with Magazine, which was...
I don't know if it was Magazine, there was a band before that. Wayne County. They supported them, didn't they?
I've no idea. That's all right, that's news to me, right? Okay. I had it down for the first time was at the Electric Circus. The last night of the Electric Circus, and then Magazine with The Fall.
We've seen them before then, haven't we?
No, that's where it differs. I don't remember that at all. I remember
the Magazine one, but that was after the Electric Circus.
No, I remember standing next to Mark Riley, and we just kind of looked at each other while we watched them playing. Right. And we basically said, this is the band. We knew this was the band, because we used to go to Rafters all the time, didn't we?
Yeah.
And it's kind of... A lot of the bands were shit, really. Yeah. They were like kind of plastic punk, weren't they? And that wasn't the idea I had of a... Because as we both thought, Sex Pistols were a bit of a pub band.
Yeah.
Great single, Anarchy. B-side was great at that.
Yeah.
But the actual...
But it didn't really sound anything like they sound like.
No, I hate 12 bar. It was a lot of that.
There was a lot of that.
I hate that shit.
Sounds like Free with Old Man Steptoe singing.
Yeah, and the best.
Captain Sensible.
Yeah. Slaughtering the Dogs were just a riot because they're so funny.
Yeah. Well, you'd seen them before, the Sex Pistols, had you?
No, that was the first time I saw them.
I thought you'd seen him in Withenshaw, haven't you?
We've seen Slaughter the Dogs before.
Oh, Slaughter the Dogs.
That's what I'm talking about. So if you say you went to see the Sex Pistols because Slaughter the Dogs were on.
Yeah. I saw Slaughter the Dogs in Withenshaw. You probably did.
Yeah. Bit of a way out for you, Withenshaw.
We used to sneak into the Free Trade Hall with Mike Rossi.
Oh, yeah.
Might use him as a battering ram. We did.
Run down the fire escape.
Did anybody ever pay in the Free Trade Hall? Everyone you ever talked to? Always sneak in at the side and never pay in.
Lots of times. But it's all loads of naff bands and you're like... Traffic.
Super
truly
job.
Man. Oh. Truly dreadful one.
Budgie.
Oh, Jesus.
Back on turning overdrive.
Didn't you see Supertramp as well?
So Supertramp on the front row. On the front row.
Good gigs, aren't they?
Yeah. Front row for Supertramp. Interesting live band, then, weren't
they? We were just into going to live bands. I was just so interested.
So, yeah, there's one. So you're going to see loads of gigs. And then, the big thing is the Free Trade Hall with Sex Pistols. Was that...
Well, Buzzcocks.
Well, yeah, but was that... Did you think that was... Did it feel different then, that gig?
Well, of course it did, yeah, because we were just going to the Free Trade Hall, weren't we? Mm. And that was, like, a proper venue.
You'd been to the Free Trade Hall a bit, hadn't you?
I know, but that kind of small, intimate gig. All ours were, like, Free Trade Hall.
Yeah, yeah. And thousands.
And the Apollo.
Yeah.
But that's the first time where there's just a few people in.
Right, okay.
And it felt strange.
Yeah.
And it felt a bit of a communal, didn't it?
Yeah.
We knew Slaughter the Dogs, and I knew the sister of Steve Diggle.
Oh, right, okay. Has he got a sister? I thought he had a brother. They might have a
Sandra,
sister.
Sandra Diggle.
Oh, right, okay. He's
got she was saying, they're playing a gig in Manchester.
Right.
He was playing bass, though.
Yeah. Right, okay.
And we ended up going to that. I didn't know, I'd forgot all about the Buzzcocks were playing, but I thought they were way the best band. I thought they were brilliant.
Yeah.
I loved all that sawn off guitar Dave Shelley had. Brilliant.
Oh, so then at some point you went to see Buzzcocks, presumably. Did you go to that Ellsworth Hall one? Did you go to that? Oh, there's a band on the wall, did you go to?
I think you're mistaken me for somebody
with the memory. I can't remember the next time we saw.
Right, so
I should get Simon down here.
Jesus Christ, the Marvel the memory man. Bleeding hell. That studio was everywhere, wasn't it? Right, so anyway, you saw the Fall for the first time at the. Why did you go to the?
As I say, my memory was, I remember standing next to Mark Riley, and we both just looked at each other after seeing that, because Mark Smith was did lots of interactive talking.
He was brilliant,
songs,
wasn't he? Yeah.
I mean, it's so incredible.
Yeah,
and I thought this is the best band I've seen. We said this is the band for
us. Okay. So then you
not in a kind of stalkerish way, but I suppose it was because we went to every gig we played after that. But the Electric Circus one, no.
Right.
Total blank on that.
You were definitely there, I think, weren't you?
Yeah, we were there. Yeah. Yeah, we went to both of them.
Is this the one with Steel Pulse?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. They were on the first night, yeah.
Are you sure they were on Rafters before this circus?
No.
No, you're not sure. No, they weren't. Or no, you're not sure.
I'm not sure. I, from what you're saying now, I've got a feeling that I wasn't at that then, because it's just you and Mark.
Could have been, couldn't
and
it?
Then we decided to go to the Electric Circus.
Right.
Because they were on and the Buzzcocks were on, and it was closing down and all that.
Yeah.
And then we started going to every time they played Manchester.
So how many times do you reckon you saw them before Mark joined? Saw them with Tony Friel, didn't they, obviously, didn't they?
Yeah. Then they did the squat with Eric, didn't they?
I can't remember that, yeah.
That one worked.
So that's the one next door to Emily Pankhurst, house, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. And then, that was tiny. That was just basically a living room, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's really good.
Tiny the squat, yeah. Yeah. So then, obviously, the next thing was Mark joined. So that must have been amazing, that, to have somebody you... To have a great man with somebody you knew.
It was absolutely gutting, wasn't it?
Well, he left our band, didn't he?
Hey, I tell you what, the Quarrymen were never the same, were they?
It was weird. I don't know if you've seen him at the Band of the World first.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really good. I mean, I was happy for Mark, but it's kind of...
They're asleep.
It was, yeah, because he's, you know, he's good in the band.
Yeah, of course.
Well, we've been trying for, it's been a number of years, we've been trying to get something together.
Can't have been that many bleeding years.
It seems like it when you're that age.
When you're young.
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
3 months.
Yeah. Probably heartbroken. Yeah. We've put 3 months into this.
But I mean, they were...
And then we got the kind of bizarre opportunity to join them.
And I remember after supporting them a number of times.
And I remember going to the rehearsal. And then for some reason I was like directed to the piano, it wasn't Snoopy piano.
Right.
I think we played Rebellious Jukebox.
Right, okay.
I mean, I don't like just the basic chords of a piano, I'm not a piano player.
No, no.
And I was like gutted. I thought, oh shit.
Right.
Because Mark had switched to guitar,
yeah.
You coming on the bass.
And you were going to be the keyboard player for
it? This isn't going to work, I'm going to lose my mates here.
Ah,
and
right.
Mark's joined it, and now Steve's joined it.
And you're stuck on the
air? Well, no, I couldn't but about do a C on a Rebellious.
Right.
So it's like god awful, really. And then Mark Smith just said, let's try it on guitar.
Right,
well, it's the first time it's been diplomatic.
This doesn't chime, this.
This is totally different to my memory of it, because I thought you were the obvious replacement for Martin. And then
Mark shifted the goalposts in that way because he wanted to get off bass because he wasn't a bass player. Mm. I mean, he's a good bass player.
Great bass player, yeah.
But he decided he wanted to play guitar. And I think also to help you in on the bass.
Yeah, but all this... you got stuck with the Susan phone, didn't you?
It's funny.
And I had a really sick feeling with Summit for a bit. I thought, oh, Jesus, I'm the only one not getting this gig.
You had the same feeling.
Funny, isn't it?
You should talk more.
Bloody right.
Communication. Have you ever read any early interviews with XTC?
Yeah. When he had massive stage fright, I think.
Yeah, they stopped playing live, didn't they?
They stopped playing live. And they never talked about why, you know.
Yeah. They just stopped playing live, and nobody ever mentioned.
Nobody ever.
Not getting many gigs here.
No,
there's loads of bands like that.
They don't talk.
Yeah, well, they don't. They're not, fairly dysfunctional, aren't they, people in that? So anyway, that doesn't chime with the thing that Martin remembered showing you the songs and guitar.
I know.
Yeah, well, that didn't happen.
I mean,
God bless Martin, but he gets a bit confused. Did we ever go to Martin's place? I don't even know where it was.
Well, it didn't happen.
I think he's getting confused with he might have shown Mark Riley stuff.
Well, that'd be possible. You'd have to show Mark, wouldn't you, when he joined?
Well, he would have shown it because he had to show the bass line.
Yeah.
But no, as I said, does it sound like me going round to Martin and saying, Martin,
doesn't sound massively like you, but then... It's not beyond the realms of possibility.
No, never happened.
But it doesn't sound like the atmosphere around at the time. I'm leaving the band, I'll just teach the new guy.
Well, no. I mean, it was fairly young.
I mean, when Martin told us in factory...
Yeah.
I generally didn't think, oh, fuck, what's going to happen now?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I said that to Martin, so what's going to happen now? And he goes, well, you'll probably join.
No.
Never even occurred to me that.
Well, I mean, it was fairly friendly, because Una was playing with you and you were supporting the Fall, so it can't have been that Daggerstorm, can it? Because I presume, because they were in Hyatt then, weren't they?
Well, Una only did a couple of rehearsals. She didn't do gigs, did
she? She did a couple of gigs. She did Eric's with us on keyboard.
Right. Well, no, I definitely
didn't
get schooled. I mean, I like Martin's style and all that stuff, but no, he didn't kind of run through songs.
But you must...
But, I mean, Mark Riley kind of do...
Yeah,
some Martin risk, but I just play my own stuff out.
Right. But if you put away, it's pretty much.
Yeah, well, I didn't play on that. I just do the
guitar solo.
Very loud guitar solo.
Yeah, but it's not.
I hated playing that because it's awful to play.
Right, is it?
It's just a pain in the ass to play. But
it's a G7 for the listeners. He's miming a G7 now.
Rock and roll for me.
Oh, Jesus. It's a great song. I mean,
the guitar solo is a great.
Yeah, I prefer the Peel version. I've always preferred the Peel version. Not least because it's completely out of tune. Well, I've said this about five times now, but put away, it's completely out of tune.
But anyway, that's a different story. So, where were we? So you're now joined, but Put Away and, what was the other one? Printhead. They were both Martin songs, weren't they? So if you didn't show you, you were sort of doing this.
Well, yeah, that's easy to think. I mean, Printhead is not right. Is the Stooges.
Right, oh, is it? Okay.
Not right.
Oh, right. Oh, I didn't know that. Right, okay. But when you said that, the Printhead's not right, well, you played it wrong.
I found that weird when Martin came back. And, like, the first song he offered was another Stooges song.
Hang on a minute. You've just jumped bloody 10 years.
Which is Little Doll.
Oh, right.
Harpy.
Sing harpy. Anyway, you just lost 10 years. So the solution was that you two were going to join on in capacity unknown, either keyboards or. So
fortunately, I said Mark Smith said, "Do you want to play guitar on it instead?"
Yeah, right.
So we did Rebellious with two guitars.
Right, because it was quite.
And that worked.
That was quite a departure to have two guitars, couldn't it? Because it was
for the four.
Yeah, the four.
Yeah.
I always had that keyboard thing, didn't the Snoopy.
Yeah, there, awful bloody thing. We all played it, didn't we? I think you're the only one who didn't play it. Yeah. Everybody else bloody did.
It's pretty good at sustaining notes, though, isn't
it? Jesus
Christ. I mean, the worst.
Yeah,
new
face of us. Straining. I played track and field. But apparently, we were talking to Una about that, and she bought that Snoopy keyboard, and there was a review of it in the Melody Maker the week after she bought it. Said, "This is the worst keyboard that's ever been part of the back."
I liked it, though. I liked it.
It was bloody awful. Awful thing. I mean, well, I don't know. There was that much choice then. I don't think you could go into Mamalocks and buy a synth.
Don't it work, like, say, in my area? I think Yvonne's keyboard.
I thought Yvonne's where she takes it for a walk.
It's quite ethereal, wasn't it?
So how long did Yvonne last then when you two came along? Was he bullying out? Is that what I'm doing? She didn't last long, did she?
No.
I thought Yvonne was great.
I
think she was just kind of overwhelmed because.
Well, that doesn't work. This doesn't work.
No, I think she was overwhelmed.
No, I don't mean that. I mean, hang on.
Ganging, didn't we?
Yeah, you joined, and Mark said play the piano. What was it? What was Yvonne doing at the time? Making a brew. She was still in then. That can't have happened.
Was she?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's on Roll Shumble.
But maybe she didn't turn up for the rehearsal.
Jesus Christ. It's a shit business, isn't it?
She
didn't,
she did live in Sheffield or somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe she wasn't.
Well, I know for a fact there was like consigns to the keyboards.
That can't have been after Yvonne went. They can't have said we're going to demote. Well, no, that's not really demotion, but they can't have suggested moving you across to keyboards.
Well, I would say Yvonne who said she didn't want to do it anymore.
Yeah?
She had some pathetic excuses. She went to look after a sick dog or something.
So, the other thing I was going to ask you too, were you there at the time, what did you think when Carl got replaced with Mike? Did you think it was a good move or a bad move or an indifferent or just different? Or not?
You're obsessed with this, aren't
you? No.
I can give you my opinion.
No, because
Carl Bird is a fantastic drummer, isn't
he? I think it was a good thing because if he'd have just carried on with that the way he played on the first album, I don't think the rest of the four would have worked. So, I mean, it's a good fact that he went away and came back.
But we wouldn't have had, like, Fiery Jack.
No, you'd never have had that.
Flat of Angles. Yeah. They had a certain style, didn't they?
Yeah. See, you're maligning me here. I think it was a good thing that Carl got replaced by Mike.
Yeah, but you think Mike Lee's a shit drummer, don't you?
No. Well,
that's too long a pause there.
I wasn't
just
of sound.
To clear up though, wasn't it? Everybody loves Mark slagging the band off, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And when he does that, Total Stearns, well, you stop, you players stop fucking showing off. That was purely Mike Lee.
You always thought it was you, didn't you?
And his rototoms.
Yeah.
Well, you can claim it if you want to,
but no. You're all right.
They were bloody awful.
Well, it's time perfectly. It was having a heart attack halfway through.
Mark Riley always reckons he couldn't get back out. He got to get so far into some of them roles, he couldn't find his way back to playing the beat.
The studio had we'd left, the crowd had left.
Yeah. That's a very unfold.
But no, anyway. I don't know what happened to Carl. Did Carl leave, or did he just replace him?
Yeah, he left. Yeah.
He left.
It's not replacing him then, is it? Well, it is in that he left.
Well, yeah, it's replacing him.
It wasn't a
total different.
Yeah, it wasn't Mark's decision, was it?
No, Carl left because he.
And Mark was always into that kind of rockabilly look.
Yeah, yeah.
He loved the.
Mike was
in a teddy bar. Teddy rocks it, and his drain pipes and his
leopard skin flat hat.
His brothel creepers. Forgot about the leopard skin.
Was that gig? Yeah, the leopard skin flat hat, didn't he, Mark?
He used to stand on his kit at the end.
Never saw him do that.
Yeah.
But no, Mark loved that simple stuff as well.
Yeah, no, it was great. No, you're maligning me. I think it was a good thing that Mike came in when he did. He wasn't a patch up Carl as a drummer. I don't think anybody would argue with that, would they, from Crossing?
Yeah, Carl was a liability though, wasn't he?
Wait, was he a liability? I don't know. You tell me, I wasn't around then really, so. Oh no,
he wasn't the most reliable person.
I always found Carl hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, me, I thought he was brilliant.
He's a brilliant drummer and he's funny.
Well, I was a bit of a bit of hero worship with Carl. That was when I saw that first gig at Bowden and it was Mike. Especially with it being the old band but with Mike. It was like there was a bit of an adjustment, wasn't it, when you're watching them play Psycho Mafia and Music Scene with Mike on the drums. It was broke my heart.
Well, he kept the beat. That's enough.
He didn't. No, it's not. Excuse me.
No, I mean, and Carl was good. He camped between both camps.
Yeah.
So it was a good kind of in between thing for us.
Yeah. Buffer.
Yeah.
And we've not got there yet. It's coming back in a minute, Carl.
He used to make Mark laugh most of the time.
Yeah, he did.
Mark knew he was a chancer, but he liked that people like that.
Try it on. Yeah. So, I was going to ask, the first time you were in the studio, was that was with Oz, wasn't it, to do Rolf's Rumble? That would have been the first time you were in the studio, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, the first time you both have been in the studio, I don't think Mike had ever recorded anything before, had he? I don't think.
Apart from the Peel,
No, Pete, you haven't done it. Mike never did a Peel session.
He didn't do one, no.
The first Peel session you did was the first one I did.
Yes, I suppose.
Mike, I thought you said Mark.
No, Mark had done a Peel session.
Yeah.
That's brilliant, that Peel session with what's it on? Mess of Mine.
Yeah,
that's brilliant, that. Good drumming. You would have got Mike playing that, would you?
But it was the first.
So where was that? It was in Wales? Was it?
No, it was in Rochdale.
Oh, I've just said that.
Well, Cargo.
Cargo.
Cargo at the time, but yeah.
Yeah, with Oz.
Yeah.
Producing. That's really weird, the sound on that single. Do you not think?
Well, it's a weird sounding room.
Yeah.
Dragnet is the same, that kind of. You know you're in this kind of.
Yeah, I'd say, yeah, you're right.
Wooden room, wooden box.
It doesn't sound like grotesque, though. Does
well, it? Supposedly, Oz was like the sound man,
yeah.
Live sound man, and he didn't have a lot of studio experience.
No.
And then
Grant didn't have
a lot of studio experience.
Yes, I suppose.
Well, grotesque was a lot more like folky stuff in a way as well. There was a lot of. What's that one?
Captain Kelly.
Yeah, and grotesque. Graham Friday. And you hear, say New Face Adele, you can tell that's Cargo straight away. I start it with doom, doom.
Great guitar
solo. You can hear that.
Yeah,
that Cargo room.
Mm. I don't think Grotesque sounds anything like
Dragnet or Rod Grumble.
No,
because there's a different spread of songs.
Yeah,
saying.
Yeah. I see what you mean. Yeah, right.
I mean, because we're all sitting in. Although it wasn't all recorded at Cargo, Grotesque.
Yeah, it was.
It?
Oh Oh, no, no, we did some grants, didn't we? Like container drivers and pay your rates. We did that tiny little studio in London.
And you prefer that container driver's version to the peel session?
I do.
I think the peel session's far superior.
I've never thought so. Is that bloody Fender Rhodes? Electric piano again, I'm not a fan.
That Fender Rhodes was brilliant, played by me.
Didn't say there was anything wrong with what you were playing. And playing all the right notes, not necessarily on the right keyboard. They were 2 days apart. We did street level on Monday and then the peel session the next day.
No, it's a proper toilet, that place.
Wasn't it, Jesus Christ.
Typical grand place, a real hippie commune.
The bog was all in the floor. Dirty bastard.
Remember we played Switzerland and we staying like a hippie commune?
Oh, Jesus. I still have nightmares of that.
They actually threw us out.
I still have nightmares of that.
We didn't communicate with them, I think.
They take the lock on the toilet so you couldn't lock the door and you're having a shant.
Yeah. And now they walked in on you, didn't they?
No, it was you. Steve, someone got in the shower. Well, you were in the shower. Someone came in the shower. Nice, beautiful, a beautiful people. Again, you're jumping ahead here. We've not got there yet. I've not joined yet. We've not even got to the good days.
No, this is what we're leading to, isn't it? The glory years.
No,
it's not the bricks.
I'm just trying to
uphill. It's not the bricks years. It's a hand pipe.
I'm just trying to keep it vaguely chronological. You know, someone's got to keep a bit of order.
All right, go on then.
Right, so you did, and then you Fiery Jack was in, that was in Wales. That's a great sound on that single.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Which version of?
I kind of listen to. I think you do when you. If you listen back to stuff like, you kind of think, oh, I shouldn't have played that. Oh, I should have held back on that. I think that with Fiery Jack myself.
What?
I thought, oh, I shouldn't have gone that.
That's the best bit of the Blitz.
No. I'm not fishing for compliments. This is an honest feeling where you kind of, oh, I shouldn't have done that bit there.
You know what that
is? Mark was like about to kind of sing something.
Oh, right, okay.
You know, bite the grenade or whatever, and I'm not kind of, because we did a lot of stuff we did live, didn't we, at that point? Mark, even in the studio, do stuff live, and I would interact with, I'd play along with Mark's vocals when he's kind of getting all het up and like, eat less grenade and all. But there's certain bits on that song, you're like, nah, I could have left that bit out.
I'm trying to fish your comments all your compliments all you want, but I wouldn't change a note of your guitar on that. I think it's brilliant. Which version of Psychic Dancehall do you prefer then? The Dragna version or the single?
What's the single one?
It's on the B side of Fiery Jack.
Well, what's the difference?
Well, it's recorded again.
Right.
Recorded it in Wales when you recorded Fiery Jack.
I don't know. I don't remember it.
That
was ages ago.
It was a while ago, yeah.
Steve.
Kind of negates the point of this podcast. Oh, I don't know. It was ages
ago. Your kid doesn't remember it as well.
Do you not remember it either?
Radically different?
I don't remember it being massively different, no.
It was a better sound, wasn't it? The sound in...
That can't be hard, really.
No, well, there you go. Yeah, so I don't think it wasn't. Yeah, you know, didn't play it in 3/4.
I don't know. I thought the Dragnet one was great. I thought.
I think it's brilliant.
It's great the way it opened.
I thought me and Mark worked really well together.
Brilliant. And the way it,
you know, they got
it's a great song. The way it goes to double time for the chorus, it's a really clever song. But anyway, so you've not got massive affection for the B side.
Backstage, and somebody kind of go, who did Psychic Dancehall? No, you pointed at me.
Yeah.
You ripped that off Elgar, didn't you?
Did that?
No, I didn't.
Unconsciously.
Well, I've heard Elgar Wonders. Oh, no, it's Holtz.
Holtz, the planets, is it? Well, if that's the Holtz, you did rip it off. Holtz pills, maybe.
I only rip off class, mate.
Holtz bitter. He's very bitter about that Holtz. Thank you very much. Well, you've lost my train of thought now.
Good. Won't go anywhere.
No.
Right, well, you asked what it was, a psychic dancer.
Psychic dancer is a great song. No, I'll tell you what I was going to say. The Quested psychic disco was a real thing, apparently, according to mine.
Yeah.
Place in Preston.
Yeah. Which I never thought.
Apparently, Crossroad, where the Chippy is, that's got his mule Europe.
Oh, yeah. All right, okay. So that'll be one they can go to there when they do the tour.
Yeah, I see Marks when I used to work.
Is that we are going back now, aren't we?
I trudge. Yeah, it is. Yes.
Oh, is it?
Okay. When I'm trudging to work in the morning, I'd see Mark's head peering through these silver birches.
Bloody hell!
You're laughing at me.
Can't leave me alone. Can you? Right. So. Then you played a fair bit, and you did the first American tour, didn't you? Then with Mike. Took his drum kit over, as I recall. It was a privilege I never bleeding got.
But there's no bitterness.
No.
He took that drum kit to America.
He did, yeah. Because there's a great picture of you. I think it's on the way back, where you're all sat in the airport lounge, all like looking completely and utterly pissed off. I don't know who took the picture, but it's a fantastic picture. So that must have been quite the experience, the first American tour.
It was brilliant.
Yeah.
It was everything I wanted America to be.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, those times, late 70s, you watch things and you see Yellow Cab and all.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's surreal when you get there just to see that kind of basic level. And I don't know, would have been 18 or 19, so still young and all that.
Yeah, see, really by the time I got to America, you were both very jaded with America. You'd been there a number of times.
Yeah, I always love going to America.
Yeah, me too.
That Iroquois, that was like being in a film, staying at the old James Dean.
You remember, it's a real big deal, that man. Yeah. It was an absolute toilet where we were there, cockroaches all over the place.
When we were in the Iroquois, the receptionist said, where can we go to eat? He said, if you turn right out of here and then right again, you'll be in Times Square. Don't, whatever you do, turn left out of here because you're taking your left and your hand. I mean, that was 1983, was it?
I think the first, we went into a diner, we had the meal and we paid for it. We went straight to the till. Didn't know anything about waiter service. We did serve, and we paid like the exact money.
I bet that went down well.
There's no excuse me, sir. This is we live on gratuities. We didn't even know what that meant. We just went, all right, okay, good night.
Consequently, we were never invited back. Well, that's a big thing. There's a big difference because it's not like I think people now. I mean, I don't sound like an old fart, but people know a lot more about America now. It was quite unknown, wasn't it? The only thing you got then was from films and stuff, and there wasn't that many of them.
When we went there, it was basically when New York was kind of kept just going bankrupt.
Yeah, rough.
There's no regeneration.
No, no. But you see the films, you see people walking on the road, and there's just like shit all over the road.
Well, that's what it was like.
Yeah, yeah. Unbelievable. Because, I mean, I'm so sure London was the same. That was that thing with the squats.
Yeah, we were hardly tutting, really. Manchester.
No. But, I mean, that thing with street level and where ground, that was all them squats in London as well. Yeah. The massive, big sort of Georgian houses, and then there'd be like 55 crusties living in them, wasn't there? Horrible. I hated all that, mate. You know, all them squats.
No offence to crusties, sir.
I could drive them out of the room with a bar of soap. that here and now thing was because we.
That was great though, because we got gigs and I thought they were all right for what they were.
Yeah.
They played loads of different type of songs, didn't they? It wasn't all just kind of a.
I don't have any massive memories of them. See, I must have seen them. I must have seen them play here and now. Because I think.
I mean, they're horribly like a big family though, weren't they?
Yeah, they were, yeah.
They had the kids there and all that. That's wrong. It's totally wrong.
I get Here and Now mixed up with Deeply Veiled. In my head, they're both the same thing, and it's.
Well, they always play.
Yeah. It's all, you know, the great unwashed making bean burgers over a fire.
I've not heard us live there, though. I've seen a picture.
Isn't that, what a jumper that is that you've got on.
I was about to say that. I just remember wearing this hideous jumper.
With the broken heart.
That's not a broken heart.
What's a
zigzag?
Oh. It looked like a broken heart.
It
might even be a tank top. don't think it even had sleeves. I think it was a tank top with a broken heart on it.
It was a pullover.
Pullover. Sweater, if you will. But yes, this is a live album. I believe the recording is absolutely appalling, though. I don't think...
Oh, yeah, I have heard a bit of it. It's unlistenable.
There's a few of them, though. Some of them four.
There is somebody at the moment, just... I don't know how it works by phone, but I kind of get a prompt saying, oh, this is available. And there's loads of false stuff coming out.
Tons.
80s and stuff by someone... Dirty Purple.
Oh, right.
And it's got just everything. It's like 81, 82. I listened to one.
Oh, yeah, that's what we were saying.
I was having a right pop at you.
But me?
Drumming on 1/8, yeah.
Oh, you were? Oh, Marcus? All right, what did he say?
What I say. You'd be upset twice.
I think I'm big enough now.
You just get it together, pals. Wake up and all this. He's doing all that.
Bastard. It's really bad that doing that.
I hated him doing that in front of an audience.
Yeah, yeah.
And he had to do it down the fucking mic. That's telling. You could quite easily walk away from it.
Yeah, of course.
Paul, fucking wake up.
Yeah, there's one where after ex-induction hour, where he says, you'll have to forgive the band tonight. They believe what they read about themselves. Fucking hell, come on. Yeah, that's
well, me. No, it's that kind of. It's just changed the fucking band to himself at times.
Yeah.
When he wasn't in the mood, he would blame us.
Yeah.
He'd turn it round, it was our fault.
Yeah.
Wait, you get lots of wake up.
Yeah.
Or if we saw us eating a meal beforehand, you fat bastards, wake up. He did.
Yeah, yeah.
And as I say, there's a lot of gigs where he was bored.
Right.
And he fucking. Blame the band.
Right.
You know.
Because I think we were pretty consistent, I think. I don't think we were ever like one night. I think we were far more consistent than he was a lot of the time, you know.
I think we're a lot more consistent.
Yeah.
I remember, I think we played a London gig and he was doing his usual shouting and stuff. No, at first, I just kind of used to just sit there and like, But I like just said that to him, you know, Mark, we get bothered. And it was not a good gig, but anybody's standards, him as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, Mark, it bothers us just as much. Bothers me just as much when we do a bad gig.
Yeah.
And he's so shocked that I'd like spoken up.
Yeah.
So like, sorry, Craig, don't worry about it, Craig, you know, right?
Yeah. Because it wasn't, I mean, we've talked about this before on the box, it was a matter of being life and death, some of them gigs, really. They weren't.
Every gig was.
I don't think we were
complacent.
No.
If you're a good band, every gig fucking matters.
Yeah. Yeah, but you say that, but you look at like our contemporaries then, if you look at like what New Order were, and if you read either Barney's books or Hookie's books, they're off the fucking head half of them gigs. You know, they didn't. The privilege of being go out and earn your living.
It doesn't mean it's going to be a bad gig.
It doesn't necessarily, but that's another thing, isn't it? That's the other thing, is what the band thinks a good gig isn't always.
Oh, man, that. Loads of times that had happened, I'd come off stage thinking it was awful and Mark would think it was great, or I'd come off thinking it was great and Mark would think it was awful.
Yeah.
And Mark,
okay. And then it kind of got to a stage where you keep your mouth shut, find out if Mark thinks it's great, and then
Mark,
you can go,
okay. Happy days, getting a beer out.
But that's two people on stage, but then the audience perception is different again, isn't it?
I think they're mostly ecstatic, the audience.
Yeah, I think so.
Because even us at our worst, we're a lot better than most of the bands going around at that time.
Fair enough. Can't argue with that.
I think we're playing Hammersmith Palais the night before. I think we've stayed in these shit hotels, was it?
Oh, yeah.
Ladbroke Gardens.
Oh, fucking hell, man.
It was
four
of us in a room, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was a proper cutting on the Hammersmith Palais the next day.
But
I remember Mark Riley was like going, Craig, it was like some kind of...
In the middle of the night?
Campfire thing. Are you awake?
Yeah.
That type of stuff.
It was like four of us in a bleeding room.
What was that going?
What hotel rooms have four beds?
The
Ladbroke Gardens.
Probably had two. They put two more in for us.
Well, do you remember the sheets in that hotel? You pull them on, they're fucking damp sheets.
Oh, yeah.
Disgusting, that hotel.
But anyway, Mark was like going, Craig, do you think we're the best band in the world? That's the type of question you ask at kind of 2 in the morning.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were like discussing it. We said, well, we are. We said, we're our only rivals at that time, we both agreed, with the Cramps and the Birthday Party.
Yeah.
I think the Birthday Party were playing with us
next
day.
Yeah.
And I hate the fact, I mean, we absolutely blew them off the stage. But I hate that phrase.
Yeah.
We were just brilliant.
We were, yeah.
And they had some shit sound, man. And they were awful.
Well, Mark has this theory that they were really trying to blow us off the stage because they had like a fire eater and they were, you know, and but
they didn't have a fire eater.
They didn't have a fire eater.
They had somebody in the audience who put some gas down his throat.
Well, what could they expect?
And he blew fire over.
So he didn't have a fire eater, they're just somebody who put gas in the throat and blew it out.
Arranged.
Oh, he just rocked up with his fire eating equipment.
Yeah, Martin showed him how to do it. But anyway,
still got a bird tongue from
anyway, they were always brilliant.
They were.
Hacienda gigs were fantastic.
They were. And
you've got video evidence of that.
Yeah, yeah. Well.
But then you're saying a band who are off the face.
They were brilliant. The best of
all. So they were, and the Cramps were just like fantastic.
Amazing.
Like,
oh, man, amazing.
Well, we used to do a switch, didn't we?
We'd swap headlining.
Yeah.
I think we played the London one, and Kay was screaming because the Cramps just had everyone up on stage and they were supporting us. And it's like,
we supported the Cramps that night. I'm sure we did. That was my first gig, the London one. It might have been somewhere else.
Well, it might have been somewhere else because Kay was fuming.
Yeah.
Because she knew
they were. I think they let us headline in Birmingham or something.
Well, no, they did a few of it.
I don't think they were particularly happy about coming over from America and supporting anyone.
But there's
some really nice people.
There's always that story of Mark saying, getting Lux Interior put in front of a mirror and saying, look at the state of the way you look. That's fucking brilliant, Lux Interior.
I remember in the dressing room, because we had to share a dressing room, and he was doing a little pirouette with his eyes closed, whilst Ivy did the loads of hairsprays.
Brilliant. They were amazing, weren't they? Everyone. I mean, that Nick Knox on the drums, the coolest
one. And then Brian Adams.
Everything
in his car.
Brian Gregory.
Nick Knox. Come on.
He smashed his guitar, as I recall. He had like a flying V guitar at the end of Human Fly or whatever. Not my Surfing Bird. He smashed it and then... God, he smashed his guitar. He's got a supply of the really, really shit guitar. And he gets like 8 of them.
But they were fantastic.
They were brilliant.
But they were the only two bands I thought... ploughing their own kind of...
And the Virgin Prunes?
Virgin Prunes I always thought were brilliant.
No, comedy act. I saw them once and they were really good. They kind of got all that theatrical stuff.
And
I think, I don't know, it's just...
I loved them, the basic
ones. What's the LP where Gavin sings?
That's all of them.
No,
he ruins...
Wonderful and Frightening. It's a Wonderful and Frightening World, though. Do you not like his vocals, no?
It's a bit over the top.
Did he
over the hill?
Copped it?
Eh?
Copped it?
It's all right, but in bits you kind of... It's another one where you should have left that bit out, really. Should have left that. It's like with Kenny fucking Brady singing.
Kenny Brady singing? Oh, he played the fiddle. Yeah.
Vocalise.
Ruined
that song.
Awful.
Why the fuck did Kenny Brady sing Book of Flies? Who wrote the lyric then? I presume it was Mark, was it?
Yeah.
Why did he have him singing it?
He just sang, like, Only Line, didn't he? And...
It was quite a lot, really.
Quite a lot,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I mean, what LP was that on?
That's on... Shift Work.
Doesn't Carl sing one? There's one. I'm sure there's a song Carl sings.
Stay Away from the Old White Train.
Yeah, but that's a cover, isn't it? So that's slightly different. But
I don't know why Mark did that.
That could have been a good song if I just don't think Mark was asked about it, so we kind of gave it to Kenny Brady. So
that's a great song.
Musically, it was all right. It could have been all right, but you know, there's certain things Mark doesn't want to put the effort in. Fair enough.
I mean, to be fair to Mark,
there's a lot of stuff, isn't there?
Yeah, I think he did have this thing where people were bored, that people might get bored of his voice.
Right, okay.
Sort of mix it up a bit.
Right, okay.
But yeah, he does on the same LP, A Lot of Wind.
There's one that's used. We're talking to John Peel about the football, aren't
we? That's Mark's little. It's a total ingrate at times, Mark. I mean, he kind of dumped it on me, this. He obviously kind of a. Oh, John Peel, you got a comment on the City match.
Right.
West Ham. And he just phoned me and said, "Oh, Craig, could you do? They wanted to. Could you do this interview? You go and watch City, don't you?"
Right. Okay.
So I ended up kind of.
How did that? Was a weird thing, though, wasn't it? What?
Well, at the time, Peel had this where he'd interview people in bands.
About football. Right.
About football, yeah.
Right. Okay.
So I did the kind of interview with him, and it's a dreadful game.
Was it?
Like me and Wayne went, and I remember going back to Wayne's waiting for the car from the BBC to do the interview.
Right.
And I was just like, you know, Peter was like, "Oh, well, how was it, Craig?" And I said, "Well, it's really grim, you know, it's terrible." Yeah. I said, "Well, we're playing too much football, passing about."
Yeah, yeah. The future.
What?
It's the future.
That's what I do now, yeah. Obviously, Mark just cuts it to where I'm just like, "Oh, yeah, just playing a bit too much football." It was his little dig.
I see.
His little joke at a band member, yeah.
Okay. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of them, yeah, yeah. Noel's chemical effluence. Are you on that? Is that your... You should learn about them, and that was...
Of course it was, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So selfish, yeah. I listened to that.
Fantastic guitar, isn't
it? Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It's more of a song than you think it.
Is it?
Yeah. Because it was...
But it only kind of got one out. I remember, yeah. I think we're all... Me and you, just... I don't know if any of it, but we're just sitting in a circle, right, just doing that. And just...
In the studio.
Kept going on and on. And we were never asked to kind of do it again, do a second take.
No. Well, there's too much of that. I always think that.
It's one of the... There was always one kind of novelty song on every album.
Right.
On
no, but there's too many songs where you think, I could have nailed that. I have to give it a bloody chance to do it one more time.
I don't know. I think we nailed it on that song. I was surprised. I thought, well, are we even not going to do it again? Right. Or he's going to keep hold of it for something else? Because I thought it was great at the time.
Right, OK.
Yeah. There's loads of shit we did.
Is there a lot... I'm not sure there's as much shit on four albums as possibly you might have thought. That's right.
A lot of wind.
Oh, well, that one.
Kind of bugbear. I mean, Athlete Cured.
Yeah.
Mm.
Obviously, because it's just a rip-off of the Spinal Tap.
Yeah. Tonight, I'm going to rock you tonight.
But I thought my guitar,
I always thought, funnily enough, I always thought...
I'd rather do this, though, Steve. I'd have to put it out when Bricks did I Want to Be Your Dog.
Yeah. I was just about to say, I always thought...
And he was like going, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? That was it. I said, well, just don't play along with the riff. Right, okay. And I was to try and disguise it. So then we start.
You went bum 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 bum.
I was like, look at fucking.
Well, I was going to say.
I thought it'd be down in the mix.
I was going to say, you could easily, if you took Briggs' guitar down and just put your guitar, you could have made a different song of it, but the mix of it.
But it worked in the end, though, didn't it?
Yeah, you did it again, didn't you? Rip off elves again for another song. Well, not Rip Off Elves again, Rip Off I Want to Be Your Dog again. There's another song that's that riff again.
No,
I'm sorry.
Ah, right, okay. So, what I was going to ask you about, seeing as you're here, the songwriting process, or the music writing process, was the one. Because you two were at it for a long time, weren't you, in the same, between, you know, people came and went, but you two were the kind of engine room of... So was there a process, or was it different every time? Did you have a particular way of doing things, or...?
Well, originally it started out... Me and Mark Riley.
Yeah.
Steve was kind of came into it a bit later.
Mm-hmm.
I think the golden period for us when we're doing we got the luxury going to Dave Bush's house. That was brilliant, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That really was.
Yeah.
But as far as it was like Riley, Scanlon.
Yeah.
Lennon McCartney.
As we pointed out. Yeah. Bloody hell, delusions of grandeur.
No, that was to wind up Mark.
Yeah.
And it worked. Yeah. It drove him mad. That.
Don't you? When if you credited one of you, you had to credit.
Yeah, because he wanted to do Smith the Fall.
Right, yeah.
Which is...
Which is bloody, yeah.
Which is... No, it's dodgy, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he gets 50% and then another percent.
Yeah, yeah, well, yeah, that, yeah, that. Is it any more dodgy than him making it up every single time and having it different? There's some really...
After a period... You stopped at looking at song credits.
Well, Wings is the one you have pointed it out before. Wings is credited to you and me.
I only found that out later. I only got a phone. Somebody gave me a phone about 5 years ago, so I've had no access to records.
Right. Right.
All I've got in my house are
bitter memories.
I've got a Live to Air Melbourne gave me
right.
After I'd left the band.
Right.
And White Label, Grotesque, and Slates.
We were saying this the other day, we've got nothing.
Nothing, no, no.
It's true though, isn't it?
Yeah.
We've got about five or six Totally Wired in the drawer.
Right.
That was supposed to pass around amongst friends.
Oh, right, okay. We'll have some one of them now. The proper ones with the sleeve and the...
Well, yeah, the face on, yeah.
Yeah, you know, they're worth a gig. There's your pension there.
I'm not joking. The shop selling it.
I'm joking, of
disguise.
Course.
Disguise.
So anyway, no, so...
But you talk about the songwriting process.
Yeah.
I mean, my memories of the best of that is that you'd be a songwriting session and you'd turn up with like two or three ideas each. Put the one that you thought was, you know, more likely to get through, and then maybe that'd be rejected or it'd be accepted, and everybody'd do that, and we'd end up with a four or five.
So did everybody write?
I think it was a bit later.
Because
I remember at times when we were at Dave Bush's, we'd do stuff, wouldn't we? And then Dave had delivered the tape.
To Mark, yeah.
And we wait for the phone call.
Yeah.
What's it?
It's a no from me.
And Dave, and he would get a call from Mark. And he's like, what's this shit?
He's ripping off the Prodigy.
And then I think on one he puts passable.
Yeah.
Which was Pass Gone Mad.
Right.
Yeah. It was about the only one who... This was it's like the fucking Rolling Stones. This one passable.
Bloody hell!
Yeah. But it was good for us in a way that that we'd just go there today, write the music, and then send it off to Mark.
Yeah.
And he really had nothing to do with it, did he?
No, at that point.
Not at that point.
Well,
I mean, that was a strong because Simon was writing as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, we were all writing. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I still say that's the my favourite. Well, my favourite Fall cover is, I think a lot of Fall covers are shit, but Lost in Music is fucking magnificent. I have to say, that is brilliant. I thought the Dave Bush
I hate cover versions, but that's the only, I think that's the only good one, and Rolling Danny.
Rolling Danny's pretty good, yeah, I like that. Yeah, you're not on that.
No, not on that.
Yeah. That's why I like the bass, it's great. That's great, Rolling Danny.
Yeah.
But I think he got a bit grim then. That sort of.
But Xanadu and.
Yeah.
I hated that song. It was an original. Anyway, you know? It's like parents' music. Really.
So, how did you feel about the whole sort of chasing a hit? Did it was a bit of a
never fucking bothered me.
No.
Did it not?
No.
Well, who did it? Who did it bother? Who did it bother? It must have bothered someone.
Well, Steve, you did a book called The Big Midweek.
Yeah, yeah.
Was that looking at the charts? That never bothered me, that.
I didn't really, I didn't lie awake at night thinking we got to have a hit single.
Yeah. Well, who did it bother?
But we did go for it.
Yeah, I was going to say, there was definitely an attempt. There was money spent on videos and all that shit. Somebody must have wanted a hit.
Surely that was Beggar's Bank. Was that where
maybe
loads of 12 inches, remix of
in the north, old 53
old brother, like 10 versions of that.
Yeah,
so.
Trying to get the same people to buy it again and again.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
that was just lazy record company shit. That was the norm for every band. I'm surprised we went along with it. But,
maybe. Yeah.
But Mark was with Bricks, and Bricks, a very ambitious woman, so she wanted all that stuff.
But without being funny, Mark must have, at that point, he must have at least being ambivalent about it, it was because there was times when I thought that he was actively...
Don't forget Mark was wearing long leather coats at that point.
Yeah, yeah, I know, but there was times when I was in the fall when Mark actively went against...
Sabotage.
Getting popular.
Yeah,
so there was a period of time there where he did... When he, if nothing else, he stopped.
He played the game at the time, but... So, you know, when you're in the band, we didn't... I don't know... Ooh, we're going to be on Top of the Pops next week. Or we didn't, you know, it wasn't.
Yeah.
I remember you phoning up saying we might be on Top of the Pops next week.
apart from the time when Aaron Craig said we might be on Top of the Pops next week, I never thought
we were going on Top of the Pops.
You can give over.
What was the word when we went quite high then? Was it Ghost in the
House? Ghost in the House. But why would you be in a band that issues singles if you didn't want to get on Top of the Pops?
Yeah.
Why would you not want to go on Top of the Pops?
That was never in my psyche, you know. It was just, this is the band.
Yeah.
They're calling back to me and Mark Riley, this is the band.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Of course it is. Yeah, yeah. I get that.
Absolute fish out of water.
Yeah, I know, but you're not...
All the stuff they had there.
You're not a folk man. You want people to hear it, don't you? And what I'm saying is there's nothing wrong with what
you're talking about. It's the same with Mark. I think he just wanted to be able to pay the wages and not have to get a proper job.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And that was
we're just happy doing what we were doing.
Yeah, well, I mean, I have no problem with that, but I don't...
The people who's... Like, as I say, Bricks was very ambitious.
Yeah.
Still is.
Still is, yeah.
Kay...
was a different kind of ambition.
Red Brigade, kind of communist, never sell out.
Selling out was a big thing.
Massive thing with Kay. And that influenced Mark a lot.
Yeah, but that's gone completely now, isn't it? The idea that you would... Because, I mean, it's not just the fault.
I think Mark still had residues of that Kay philosophy. You know, the kind of, you say, sabotage stuff.
Yeah.
I think there's an element of Kay, like, saying, oh, you're going too far, in his head.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I remember that they thought Buzzcocks had sold out because they'd obviously had a hairdresser for the picture on the cover of Love Bites. That was them selling out for Mark and Kay. There was, you know, someone had taken the time to make them look nicer a photograph.
She's proper strict.
Oh, I'm ridiculously.
Kay and that. Well, that's a good, in a way.
It's good, yeah, I'm not. Yeah.
I think when we joined, we're all kind of... not socialist, but we were looking at very left wing.
Oh, yeah, I was a socialist, I still am, you know, in a lot of ways.
Well, I've always been Labour and all that, but Kay was like the extreme of old hippie, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're usually the biggest breadheads.
Yeah, well, you've got to watch look at your Richard Branson.
Grand showbiz.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, it's private jet, Grand showbiz.
I love Grant, but he was a proper breadhead, like a proper hippie.
Right? Yeah, well, I can see it. Yeah, there's definitely a correlation there. If you're listening, Grant,
we don't think you're Richard Branson.
You've just been slagging off the crusties.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, good, then, right? Grant was never a crusty. He had a briefcase. So, later on, when... You left the fall, or were left into the fall. Had you kind of lost interest in
that? That was a weird day, because you phoned me up. Yeah.
Before we get to that, had you lost interest in it? Or did you think you weren't... Were you phoning it in by that stage? Or
No, this is... I'm disappointed with Steve and everybody who does that.
Right.
In where this kind of say, oh, we wasn't bothered. Because I'd never do it. It's like with Mark Riley. I'd never say, oh, he lost interest. He was sat because fucking Mark and Kay couldn't handle him, answering back.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
There's an element.
You think?
Well, unkempt appearance. Failing to maintain amplifiers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, why do you think you were really...
Wouldn't stand up in court, that, would it?
No, not really. Why do you really think you were sacked then?
Well, Mark already said he thought he needed a sacrificial lamb.
Right, OK.
Because he thought the band were getting lazy. Which
is it true that they were?
Perennial. Well, after the farce of cerebral court, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
That was just kind of too many fucking guitarists.
I was going to say.
That, so at that time there
could have been possible good songs in it, yeah. But apparently,
everybody was playing guitar.
Don't ask the fucking drummer to play guitar.
No. As a drummer who has played guitar, it's a terrible idea.
You've done some decent stuff on Winter. It's nice, subtle.
It's all right.
Carl. He's just a rockish guitarist.
He is, a rockish, yeah.
And that's the worst possible combination for the Fall.
Right.
Rockish guitar.
Yeah.
When we worked with Craig Leon, he overdubbed proper rockish kind of guitar solos on it. On was it Ed's Baby did?
Did it?
There's loads of fucking obdub.
Right.
And it's like, that's not the Fall.
No, not at all, no. I mean,
that kind of got us thrown off. But they gave us kind of they paid us off basically to get off the label.
Right.
And we did what's a big seller after that?
Infotainment Scandal.
Yeah. Went top.
It didn't work for us on a major label.
Did you not?
That was a fact. I mean, shipping us to Wales. We went to Wales, didn't we? I think.
Yeah.
Carl gave me a lift there on his bike, Gustav. I remember spending.
Gustav was the name of his bike.
I spent half the morning trying to tape Gustav his bike to start not up to much or something.
Yeah.
I bet this is costing loads of.
That's mental. The amount of money people spend in studios avoiding recording anything.
Residential studios. It's not good. When they got wine cellars.
Yeah, it's not good for you. Certainly not good for the Fall, is it?
Yeah.
So hang on.
They don't lock the door.
No. Just to get back to it. So, you think you were a sacrificial lamb because Mark thought the band was getting a bit lazy?
Yeah, but also there's an element of I was fed up because cerebral caustics or whatever it's fucking called, and that shit LP we did.
So you were fed up then?
I was fed up, yeah. But then again, there's lots of people fed up.
Yeah.
Because Mark was fed up for about 3 or 4 years.
Yeah,
we didn't fucking get rid of him.
No, no.
And every band member's had a period where they're kind of...
Yeah, if you stay around long enough, it's probably a bit weird if you don't get fed up.
You're fed up of being slagged off and all that.
But, again, it's a weird thing, isn't it? Because it was kind of unthinkable to sack you in a lot of ways, wasn't it? Because you had been, 15 years or something? I mean,
longer than that. How long have you been in now? You've gone up to 22 yet.
That's next year.
20 was the
I'm
last
working
one.
On it.
So if you were 22, I'd have been 18.
He counts the year only in as a year.
Yeah.
So if you count that, that's 16
years. What about your break?
That was only 3 months.
Was it 3 months?
Yeah. Did it feel like longer, Craig? Felt like 5 minutes. Come turn around, he was fucking back again.
So, obviously, you know, pissed off, and also the way it was. Steve phoned me up, says, "Oh, we sacked the band." And Steve phoned me back and said, Well, he's, I think he's sacked you, you need to speak to him.
Mm. And did you speak to him?
I eventually went round to his house, and Saffron answered.
Right.
And I could hear him in the background, doing his usual crew. And she's like, "Oh, he's not in."
Fuck.
And then once I heard that, I thought, fuck it, man.
Well, you're fighting. So, if he doesn't want you in the band, it's all very well saying you should fight for your place, but why fighting for the place against
someone? It's not like Carl Burns, get sacked and he'd come back.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark liked that kind of anarchic kind of funny thing.
But he didn't. He asked you back, didn't he?
I think the band were going to play Leeds. He said, "Do you fancy coming on playing this?"
Who?
But as I say, I've been...
He has said that he
regrets getting...
You're the only
one who regrets getting rid of it.
Yeah. But I was in there for about 3 or 4 hours with Mark in the Foresters.
Right.
And he kept just repeating this, repeating something and go, grabbing your arm. It's funny that, isn't it? Funny, isn't it? And I thought, well, it's not that fucking funny. I thought I was in a bad way.
Right, okay.
And then, what about you, says Steve? the 2 or 3 years after that were an absolute nightmare. I think
you got out right at the right time, definitely, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gone.
Simon got out at the right time as well, didn't he?
Just after that,
yeah.
No, it went really downhill after that.
No.
Oh, Simon. Yeah. Wilson Coffee Week.
Yeah.
Well, he had more, was it more like arguments about credits and stuff?
Yeah, so, yeah. Which is weird because I
never had that.
No, because we never said anything, did we? None of us ever said anything about credits. You might say it to each other, but no one ever, I don't report
it. It was our biggest topic of conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
I wrote that.
Yeah. But that, I mean, that's
well, that way, but
we're back to wings again, aren't we? That's a disgrace, that you've not got a credit on wings.
Well, no, I'm not.
I mean, that's mental.
I didn't even know I wasn't credited, but everybody knows I wrote this. That's enough for me. I mean, yeah,
it just no parsnips, though, does it?
Yeah, I'm pissed off with Cruiser's Creek.
Why?
Where you don't get a credit for the chorus or the break, because otherwise it would just be a great riff.
It is a good riff. Who wrote the riff?
Bricks.
Right,
okay. But it's a great riff.
Or the other part.
Did you?
I remember pointing out, and John Fogerty was there as well. He'd brought the single round.
Right.
And I looked at it and it's going, we've got
the publisher.
Not the guy out of Creedence Clearwater Revival.
And it had Smith. Smith says, well, what's this? You know, I wrote the thing or whatever it is. And Brits have got, oh, yeah, we'll get that signed and drop, yeah, we'll get that sorted and we'll publish it. And it never happened.
No, it never does, because they said exactly the same thing to me about slanking. Oh, we forgot to give you the credit on that.
Did you write that?
Yeah, well, the keyboard bit, Mark sort of did it on a kazoo, but it was nothing like... But it's half the song, isn't it? Well, wait, I never pursued
it. Well, no, you should have credit for stuff you've done, you know.
He went like... Can you make a riff out of that? And after ling, ding, 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 but no, I've not got credit. We meant to give you a credit, but we forgot, we'll sort it out. I mean, you don't sort it out,
then. It's never sorted.
No, it's just not.
I mean, going on that theme of credits, I was pissed off. You did the Ben Sinister thing or something in London, didn't you?
Yes.
Was it Ben Sinister?
Yeah.
The listening thing. And I saw a Twitter thing from Bricks saying, R.O.D., my riff, my lead. And it was mine.
Right.
And I remember Mark asking me, Craig, could you show Bricks this so she can figure something out? So I'm going ding 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 ding. And she's like figuring out something on the guitar. In the Twitter, it's like going, I'm harking back to my surf years.
Yeah.
Then the fall fallized it.
Yeah, but there's a thing about that though.
No, but when you total kind of non-memory.
Yeah.
This was my. It's a great fucking down. But she's playing along to something I wrote.
Right.
And then to like say, like she had it in her coffers. This is what's it. I mean, just dishonest.
But there's a lot of that, and there's a lot of. Things.
Well, no, not retroactive. Now he's dead. You know, everyone should just be fucking honest about something.
Well, yeah. I mean,
now he's dead. You can like say, oh yeah, because he's like going, oh, Mark invited me. Begged me to come to England, wanted to produce my songs.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's bullshit.
So what would you reckon was the best period of the fall for you that you were in, would you say? I don't care if you say I was there or whatever, I don't give a fuck. But
you weren't.
No, I'm sure.
Why would you mention that then?
I just wanted to free you up, Craig, to say what you like.
Well, it's quite extensive, to be honest.
Well, that's good, isn't it?
I mean, obviously, there's a little bugbear you have about room to live. And that was.
I'm getting over that.
That wasn't a pleasant experience.
It wasn't a pleasant experience.
Not being invited to the party.
No. It wasn't a pleasant experience. But I'm more of the opinion now, if you say took X induction hour and room to live and said, well, that's one double album. That'd be quite the double album, really, wouldn't it? You know, and I my memories of how good the album is are tainted by I didn't enjoy the experience. So it's not really fair to do.
Well, yeah. Me and Mark Riley were kind of privy to your traitorous actions.
Yes.
I am convinced that it was the other way
around.
We
weren't there.
If it had been the other way around, they'd have staged up, they'd have placards outside. You and Mark walking up and down freely.
I'm just happy. I think Solicitor and Studio came out well.
Yes.
Like one of mine.
It did. That's all six of us, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Which is an indication that it could have been great.
Yeah, yeah, it would have been great. I know, I always say that about that.
I think the actual idea, the marquee track,
I think it's a great song.
Brilliant.
But it's like taking the first rehearsal of a cassette and
putting it another. I mean, I kind of embellished it when we did it live.
It was miles better live, yeah.
But another 6 months and that album would have been
great. I just think lyrically, Marquee Church.
He was on fire then.
He's fantastic.
It's brilliant.
The brilliant concept, Falkland's War, Lord Haw Haw.
Yeah, it's really clever on every level.
Yeah.
But no, but forget that. What? When were you happiest in the band, or when did you think the band was the best that you were in?
I actually look up that wrong octave.
I mean, there's loads, but I've got fond memories of the Extricate tour of you.
I think most of them, I think there's. I was dead happy with Ben Sinister.
Yeah.
I don't know if people like that though, do they?
No, I don't think. I think it's kind of under the radar.
It's a brilliant kind of gloomy LP.
Yeah.
It's not one that's.
Shit sleeve as well.
Yeah, we'll get enough more pictures of Mark on it.
Yeah.
And
This Nation Saving Grace is a lot of people's eye spot. Would that be yours?
So, well, that was a great period as well. I think really good.
Yeah, I wasn't there.
And that's why. No, that was a good period though, I must say.
It was. Yeah.
I mean, Simon Rogers. There was money about
it. The one Simon is credited for.
Oh, yeah, here we go.
I fucking hate that.
What?
Despite Victorian Charm.
You don't like that, no?
It's too prog rock for me. It's too fancy pants.
Yeah. I mean, he was a proper musician, though, wasn't he? Simon Rogers.
Well, that's the thing, though. You can't write songs if you're fully trained.
You reckon?
Well, I think you kind of. You know how to do.
Yeah, I know you mean. That's what. That's what Steve said about when we joined with Jason Brown, who can write songs, don't get me wrong, but he was. Every riff he's got has got a name. it's a Mixolydian blues scale. But I mean, I think you can take.
Well, I say, you've got to unlearn stuff if you're classically trained. You taught all the correct things to do.
But it's not impossible, is it?
We were amateurs, and we did it by just
feel
of a song.
It's not impossible to be classically trained and to, you know, it happens in art all the time, doesn't it? That you take what you've learned and disregard it and do something different. It's not impossible.
Yeah, but you can't slum it. Because it would be slumming if Simon tried to. I mean, a lot of people like Spike Victorian Chat. But it's not my bag. It is too overcomplicated.
Right.
And I think if Simon Trapp just kind of came with, I've got this one, you think, well, you're just insulting those peasants, aren't you? That's the type of stuff.
So basically, what you're saying there is he can't fucking win, can he?
Well, no, it'd be patronising it.
Yeah, exactly.
It can show his skill on the guitar and be spoilt the touring child.
Mm-hmm. But you don't like it?
I don't, because it's. As I say, it's too fancy pants. I don't think it's very fall.
Well, that's an interesting question. What is fall? You can't, you know, some of that, like you say, some of the stuff with.
Stuff that you never know when to end.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of that. There is a lot of that. But what's the stuff with Dave Bush? You wouldn't say it's similar to Dragnet, would you? But it's still the fall. You wouldn't say, you know, it's still the same band. But
yeah, it's a different phase.
Why is it the same band? But it's not. The whole thing about Marquis Smith and his, you know, and the Grammy on Bongo, so I find massively insulted and
pathetic. Yeah, that's offensive.
Yeah. Yeah. But
and bleeding hell, milk to death.
Eh?
And yeah, God, Mark, it's just like the
first thing people say.
No. You just know it's a bad journalist when they mention it.
He even actually said it. You know?
Apparently, Dave Bush claims he said it.
He claims he made it up. Yeah.
It's you. Anyway, it's an awful offensive statement.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah, it's an insult to all them people.
Yeah.
And you know, Mark wouldn't have existed without a decent band behind him.
No, because
his spoken word LPs, aren't it? Did no one fucking tell that in America? You know, you do that in the Texas Steakhouse.
I've never heard it. I wouldn't know.
I have, but I can imagine it.
Yeah, yeah. Who are we talking about? If in 1978, end of 1978, 1979, if Mark Smith has come to you and said, Martin's leaving the band, we're going to call it right, it's going to be Marky Smith with backing musicians, would you like to play behind me? You'd have still done it, wouldn't you? I think. Wouldn't you? But it was the fall, wasn't it?
Yeah, there's a majesty of the fall in that way.
Yeah.
I mean, when I saw him, as I say, I thought, this is the band.
Because you would have done it.
We had a lot of autonomy, though.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So we weren't kind of Mark couldn't write songs. He had occasional flares of genius. And you can tell it's all kind of like, you know, a two note, down.
Bit of length, pay your rates, yeah.
And later on,
what was that?
Pinched off. Pay your rates, I don't know. Was it pinched off?
Was the one you were talking about the other day?
Oh, your babysitter's is Mirsud.
Mirsud.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was Mark.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Right. But you can always tell Mark stuff because a lot of them it's got meow.
Yeah.
Where you bend the string.
Right.
So My New House is ding a ding a ding a ding a ding a ding down. Because I remember him, play this, Craig. He didn't say play it like I say, he just play this. So we've got, ding a ding a ding a ding a ding a down. Every fucking song he's shown me, it's got a kind of ding in it. So you can always tell where Mark's had an
impact. It's only so far I can take that, though.
But it's the kind you're not getting 40 albums out of that.
It did. Generally, I didn't know that babysitters only learnt about that years.
I only found that years.
I remember him like just going, play.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great song, isn't it? So, do you not tap into the idea that there's a big thing about Hex in there, people talk about that? Do you, that I wouldn't have thought that. It's not your favourite Fall album by a long shot.
Yeah, it's a good LP.
It's a good LP.
It's my favourite.
It's my favourite Fall LP. Well, certainly the favourite of mine. I'm on. Certainly the favourite of the ones I'm on. Give all. Thanks, mate. Yeah, yeah. Jesus, fucking hell, any choice?
You wrote a book about you, vain bastard.
I was asked to write it.
Well, no, I think we're slagged off. Right, so XUK.
Yeah.
I'm looking at Lissy just to remind me.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
That's it. Look, there.
Good album.
Chicago Now is good, isn't it?
Mm.
I'm surprised you don't get credit on that. It's just Mark.
So am I. Yeah. There's me and Simon.
But
me and Simon are in that warehouse in Ancoats for days doing that.
Yeah, they wouldn't give it like that, would they?
Yeah, no. Fucking live with it, Steve.
I am.
Such is life.
I am. I didn't get credit on it.
We're going to get back to Wings in a minute. I'm thinking of a petition in Parliament that Craig doesn't get a credit on Wings.
I created a guitar sound there. Yeah,
modest. I started a generation there. Eh? That'd be a good one, wouldn't it? We should go around everybody who's in the fall. What's your greatest injustice on credits?
Yeah.
I think that's been on for fucking years, that though, isn't it, really? So, I mean, I think Cold Selfish is slagged off.
Still a good album.
Is it?
Some good stuff. Yeah, that was...
I think that Berman School of Business, sir, is good. I love that.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And I remember Stuart Lee, he's the only one who kind of got it out, and says it sounds like the guitarist is playing a guitar solo with an utter contempt for guitar solos.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We've seen that.
That's your career, that, isn't it?
That's true. I was trying to figure out how to play I Can't Stand the Rain.
Oh, right. Yeah. All right. Well, I always
when
think
I got kind of bored a bit. I said, "Oh, it sounds a bit like that." Let's try and figure out if it's real because it's all live.
Yeah. I always think your guitar solo on Container Drivers is someone who says, "Bollocks to this for the game."
I think that fits perfectly. That's a proper Gene Vincent ragga solo for high energy song. I thought it's quite.
It's George Foreman. Never mind, fucking Gene.
Well, it's just taking you down.
It's brilliant. But it's like I cannot believe that. Convinced anybody would think of playing that over that. That's
wow.
Well, you'd do a cliche thing then, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you would. Yeah. We did it with for the book launch, and Jason played it, and I was thinking, that's a guitar solo. That's not what Craig's playing on this. You know, Craig's not
exactly.
That.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a little kind of Gene Vincent acoustic, a feeble like acoustic shit.
It was definitely feeble.
Nobody likes Gentleman's Agreement as well for some reason. I think it's a nice song.
That's a good song.
Married Two Kids. I think that's a great song. Yeah. Lyrically, I think that's really good.
Well, you weren't married with two kids or what?
Yeah, it's every man that.
Right.
Really. And that's why I think it's...
Well, you've got to be careful.
You're looking at lyrics.
You know, you've got to be careful with Mark's lyrics, that that they're all about one thing as well, because they never are.
No, of course not. It's never been met in the day, whoever wasn't in the room at the time. That type of stuff, it really is.
It is.
And I used to go for a drink with Mark in the Woodthorpe. It's slag off. Mostly Carl,
right.
Dave Bush, anybody who asked him for money. No, it was Simon. Yeah. Oh, Simon's asking for pay for his petrol. Right. And then again, Simon used to be his taxi driver, wasn't he?
Yeah. I never.
But I knew.
No. Well, you lasted as long as you did. That's why you ended up in the poor house.
Yeah. I wish I'd asked for more.
Right, I think we're going to have to wrap it up there, gentlemen. What an absolute whack of that. Yeah, bleed now.
Oh, man.
So you come back and do another one?
Yeah, we only just started.
I think it should be a part two.
Yeah, we'll have to do a part
definitely.
Two. What about we could do a four of us, me, you and Mark and Craig. How do you fancy that?
That'd be brilliant.
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah.
I've not seen Mark for fucking ages.
Right, you heard it here first, listeners. The lineup that brought you Grotesque will be reunited for several pints.
He's agreed to do it, Mark.
Yeah. Right, okay. Well, thanks very much, Craig. Beautiful. Absolutely fantastic.
Thanks for joining us this week on Old Brother. Episodes are released every second Monday, so watch for episode 8 in 2 weeks. Please follow us on Twitter at Old Brother Show, where you'll find a link to Spotify and subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher or RSS so you'll never miss an episode. While you're at it, give us a rating on iTunes, subscribe on the YouTubes or just tell your friends. For further reading, you can check out our books about the fall, The Big Midweek and Have a Bleeding Guest, both of which feature Craig, of course, from Root Publishers and all good bookstores. Hope to speak to you all again soon, and if you're driving, take your car. Ta-da.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com